We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
Four panels, eight laces, baby. Let's talk about this big pigskin. What do you say,
baby? Let's do it, baby.
Confidence level. My confidence level in Tim Kelly. Your confidence level in Tim Kelly. We're going to talk about that. But before we get into what we think about Tim Kelly, I want you to hear what Deshaun Watson has to say about the Houston Texans offensive coordinator and play caller. Not just the offensive coordinator, but play caller for 2020.
I had a lot of freedom with Coach O'Brien, too. He gave me a lot of freedom. We talked a lot of times, but being the head coach and the OC, you know, there were times where, you know, we were, you know, couldn't meet as much as we wanted to. But I feel like with Tim, you know, I get to see Tim. That's the only person that I'll meet with besides, you know, TJ Yates. So being able to have that, you know, everyday conversation, every meeting conversation with him and being on the same page and seeing eye to eye, definitely is going to, you know, take us a long way.
That's Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson talking about offensive coordinator play caller Tim Kelly, whose role has expanded this year. He's actually going to be able to play to call the plays. And what Deshaun Watson was talking about specifically there is one reason why my confidence level in Tim Kelly, it's at a 6 right now, showing it's at a 6. And what Deshaun Watson just said is a reason why it's above 5. It's above the 500 level for me, is because that QB room being different Monday to Sunday is an advantage. I can't believe that it was what it was in the past. I can't believe that Bill O'Brien thought, yeah, I'm going to let Carl Smith, I'm going to let Tater be the quarterback coach, and I'm going to let Tim Kelly be the offensive coordinator and deal with the quarterback sometimes Monday through Thursday. And then I'm going to come in and I'm going to take over that play, call that play sheet, and I'm going to call the plays on Sunday afternoon. I can't believe that they ever thought that was the recipe to win football games. But looking forward, standing in the windshield, I am stoked about Tim Kelly being the voice in Deshaun Watson's head Monday through Sunday, and T.J. Yates, a former quarterback in this system, a former quarterback with the Houston Texans, being the quote-unquote assistant quarterback coach. I think that setup right there is ideal for a quarterback to have success. The QB room, the voices that are going to be in the head of Deshaun Watson are one reason why my confidence level for Tim Kelly's at a 6.
And the other part to that is also the natural growth from Deshaun Watson.
Yes.
This is year 4 for him. You start to hear quarterbacks talk, unless you're Patrick Mahomes, but you start to hear quarterbacks talk and say they settle in. Man, you start to get to year 3 and 4 when you're able to see defenses and learn things, and now you're not getting surprised by different coverages and things. So when you look at that, his natural progression and growth, and now that Bill O'Brien is aside, maybe, now that he is aside, he can now body and become the biggest voice in the room,
yeah,
which to me would lend to see him actually getting more of the things that he's most comfortable with happening.
I love that you bring that up, Show, because again, to me, I don't have a ton of confidence in Tim Kelly. It's at a 6. Mine's a little higher than yours, but the QB room is one of them. Just the dynamic in that room is set up for a quarterback to have success regardless of who it is. And then the fact that you just mentioned Deshaun Watson being what I call the alpha in that room. Deshaun Watson will be the alpha in that quarterback room, and he will be able to tell Tim Kelly, hey, man, we've worked on that scheme. We've worked on that play. We talked about it Monday and Tuesday. We repped it Wednesday and Thursday. I don't like it. Let's shelf it until next week or maybe the next week until I get comfortable with it. This is a dynamic where Deshaun Watson should be the alpha in the room on a daily basis, and most importantly, he should be the alpha in the room when decisions about scheming and when decisions about play calling are made. He should be that alpha in the room. And now, with Tim Kelly being the play caller on Sunday, with Tim Kelly being the guy that Deshaun Watson communicates first and foremost with on Sundays, that message should not get lost between Thursday and game day, right? I mean, that message should be strong throughout the week and should be discussed Sunday morning before they take the field. So whether we're talking about the dynamic in the quarterback room, the fact that Watson should get better regardless of what situation he's in from year three to year four, and he's the alpha in that QB room, show that's big time, man. Add to it, you and I both heard it with our own ears now. We've heard Bill O'Brien say two things. We've heard Bill O'Brien take the podium at the combine and say, Tim Kelly's calling the plays, publicly made that announcement. And you and I've heard, behind closed doors, you and I've heard Bill O'Brien say, hey, man, we got to play faster. We got to play with tempo. When I hear Bill O'Brien, and I know Bill O'Brien, he's one of those control freaks. When I hear him say those two things, it tells me that he realizes there's a problem and that he's leaning on Tim Kelly to fix it.
No, and it's true. And I would say this for those who aren't completely sold that Bill is going to get out of the way. I honestly, you have a right and a point to feel that way, and I get it. As Clint said, he's a control freak like all of these cats are. And you would think like, hey, it's on the line. I've made moves. I gotta make this happen. The only thing and why I have much more confidence in change is because I do think he is going to be out of the room in terms of the game plan and what's called. And I think Deshaun now becomes the bigger voice than Tim Kelly. So even if Tim Kelly is doing it by the way that Bill O'Brien would do it, I think Deshaun's voice is bigger than his now with the offense. And that's where the natural change will come, along with the new parts they have.
Well, and by the way, Show, you know this, we discussed it earlier, is the best setup for a young quarterback that's wired the way that Deshaun Watson is for him to be the alpha in the room. Like, this is no knock to Tim Kelly. Like, Tim Kelly, if you want to be on the same page and see the game through the same lens as your quarterback, if you're the head coach, it's different. That Andy Reid dynamic, that Mike March dynamic, and the ability to float at the player level and be a play caller and then also be a head coach, that's different. Bill O'Brien is not. Bill O'Brien is the authoritarian. He's the guy that's has to be the alpha in the room at all times. That dynamic was, to me, is not the perfect fit. Tim Kelly, no disrespect, but the way that him and Deshaun Watson should be on level playing field, if not Deshaun Watson maybe being a little higher, that's the recipe for this to work out in Houston in a big way.
Set. Wide 80.
You know, obviously, you know, one thing that I didn't really realize until I saw it the other day, he's, for how young he is, I think he's 24 years old going into his fourth year, and comparative to me, like, I was 24 my rookie year. So he's still a very young quarterback, learning lots of different nuances of defenses and just really his next step in the maturation process as a quarterback, learning defenses, quarterbacking stuff, mechanics-wise, really getting the most out of his body and his mechanics, I think are really going to take him over the top and kind of take that next step.
That's former Texans quarterback and current assistant quarterback coach for the Texans, T.J. Yates.
Big Yates,
man, he's got some positive things to say about Deshaun Watson. It reminds me how young Deshaun Watson is. I mean, this guy's got a lot of football left ahead of him. When we talk about it on a daily basis, we forget how young he is. Show, but look, man, when we talk about what should be going on right now in the quarterback room in training camp, I don't care that they don't have pads on. The one guy that on the whole roster that it doesn't matter if we're walkthrough, it doesn't matter if we're in shells, it doesn't matter if we're in full gear and it's a day to scrimmage. The quarterback walks in the facility every day with his thinking cap on, and so the meetings for the quarterbacks and the mental focus and the mental buy-in from Deshaun Watson is absolutely huge. Yes, what are a few things that they should be working on? And I got three of them. I got three things the Texans should be working on between Tim Kelly, T.J. Yates, and Deshaun Watson right now. Regardless of what the practice on the field looks like, these guys should be in the meeting room, and they should be looking at film from last year. You can look back at the Buffalo game. You can take positive plays where Deshaun Watson ended up being Superman, and you can look at those plays and go, hey, man, these are the reasons that the national narrative about this offense is that we don't have answers for pressure, and we've got to have answers for pressure. Deshaun, you've got to identify the problem. You got to have an answer. We as coaches got to provide Deshaun Watson the answers that they're going to use versus certain pressures. Deshaun's got to have the ability to communicate that to the team, and the offense has to have the ability to execute those plays. To me, that is the number one thing that they should be working on in a meeting between the ears for the quarterback of the Houston Texans is identify the problem, have an answer, communicate the answer, and execute the play, execute that answer on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I totally agree. And Tim Kelly and those guys all have to come together and make that happen. But I feel good about it, though, right? Like, I don't know if you do. I feel
no question
good about it as much as people listening will come at me about my excitement level for these guys. But I do feel much better about the situation than I think anybody should from what it has been.
Well, the other thing is I think they got a plan to use tempo, man, early and often. I think that we should see this in the first damn drive of the season. That may be a little extreme. Let's go first quarter of the season. we should see some tempo, man. And you know, Sean Pendergast, who we're going to talk to here at 5:18 in an hour, he should see Deshaun Watson, you know, beating to a different drum in practice with some tempo stuff. What triggers their tempo? How are they going to communicate their tempo? Is it a chunk play? Or is it a first down? They're going to jump into some tempo on first down after if they get the ball, the first down, whether it's that play or third play. As soon as they convert that third down into a first down, boom, they're going to jump into tempo. What is it? What are they going to do with tempo? And then the other thing I think is a personal thing for Deshaun Watson. He's got to get comfortable getting through progressions, and that's what's beautiful. We should see it in the first quarter of the first game. I think Sean Pendergast, who's got one of the 10 tickets over into inside the bubble over there at NRG every day. He gets to go watch practice. Yeah, it hurts me. I'm jealous. God,
man, you just went down. I think
he should see it quick, Show. He should see it day one of practice.
I think all of these three things that you talked about all lend to what I want to see from the Texans offense, and that is being a lot more aggressive. Being a lot more aggressive, and all of those things to me, especially the tempo part of it, often early and often, as you said, I think those are the big keys for this offense coming up. All right, I think it's just a legit question. Is Dusty Baker becoming Bill O'Brien right in front of our very eyes? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Texans training camp is happening now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
I think you put it best when we came in, Clint, today, and you said, I want everybody in this city, from people in media to fans who text in like crazy, to keep the same energy, that energy that y'all be having about Bill O'Brien, had that same energy about Dusty Baker and what he's been to the Astros really since the start of the season.
Yeah, look, man, I mean, there's – at some point, we got to quit talking about, well, Dusty's been dealt a bad hand, man. Verlander and Osuna got injured. You know, it's been tough. Yeah, I mean, I get that. You know, I mean, J.J. Watt getting injured and Will Fuller staying injured. I mean, those are tough positions for a coach to be put in. But we don't check up when we hammer Bill O'Brien for the decisions that he's making and the game management issues and not calling a timeout. So, damn it, it shouldn't keep us from looking at games that the Astros have put themselves in positions to win, and all of a sudden a guy gets thrown out at third base trying to steal third base. A backup catcher gets trying to steal third base. I mean, these are things that and it's happened multiple times. I mean, you got Jose Altuve going to the plate, and he's clearly struggling in extra innings with a runner at second base, and it ain't even crossed his mind to try to push the ball to the right side of the infield or push the ball through the right side of the infield or the right field to at least move the runner. I mean, there's just some things, Show, that have come up more times than we would like over the last I don't know, week or so that you got to look at this thing and go, hey, man, like Dusty Baker, you got hitting coaches that nobody could have named a week ago. You got them getting up on the top of the damn dugout, on the top of the top step of the dugout, you know, getting suspended 20 games. I mean, there's just so much going on with the Astros right now that I understand the injuries are a big part of it. They're young. The youth with the pitching staff is a problem. I get it. The superstars not hitting the way that they typically – I get it. But damn it, man. I mean, some of this falls on Dusty, doesn't it?
You listen, man. I think – and you know I have been a supporter of Dusty as much as anybody in
this
city.
This is painful for you to talk about, I know.
As much as anybody in this city, Uncle Dusty, you know, the man who went to the soul food restaurant on a day that everybody in the city knew it was closed, mm-hmm. except Dusty. They flying that man Southwest, I think. They flying him commercial. You know how I feel about Dusty. But just like in the NFL, Clint, when Laremy Tunsil has 14 false start penalties, you look at the coach. Why aren't you buttoned up? When you have a bunch of guys that are showing up and don't seem to know what they're doing and blow coverages, you look at the coach. What are you doing? You're not buttoned up. And when you look at Dusty Baker, his team has routinely struggled in terms of situational hitting, routinely struggled in terms of running themselves out of bases all the time. Drew Stubbs was just the last one. Two others happened before him with Altuve and Reddick. This is the second time I've seen Reddick get a hit, and then he gets excited like he's never been on the base pass before, and then he runs himself out of outs and ends innings.
What'd you call him?
What'd I call him?
Garrett Stubbs.
Did I call him Drew again? God, dog. Somebody slap me in the face. The next time I call that young man, I don't know. Drew Stubbs was a former player. He played for the Indians. I don't know why I keep
calling
Garrett Stubbs.
After last night, you can call him whatever you want.
Anyway, Garrett Stubbs. What he did, all those things, it's just you got to put that on the leader and the manager. And they're all they're not. The biggest sign was in the A series where you have a coach who just feels comfortable enough to do what Alex Citron did to get himself suspended 20 games and starting a fight. Like all of those things you have to look at and say, that's on the leader. That's on Dusty Baker. So as much as I've been a supporter of Dusty Baker and thought he was the right guy, this stuff is on Dusty.
The scary part to me with Dusty Baker is, and look, I still think Dusty's the right guy in a sense of what the Astros were going through and are going through and will continue to go through, whether it's COVID-19, it's being young at this point and dealing with this, with the fallout of the Stein-stealing scandal. Because I'm sure we don't hear a ton about it, but I'm sure they're getting it from the other dugout. They're constantly getting it from the opponent. It's the lack of a plan for me, man. Like I'm not one. Like I didn't mind Bill O'Brien kicking the field goal to go up 24-0 in Kansas City. I know in hindsight when they rattled off 50 some odd points and you weren't able to even stay on the same field with them, it looks bad. But to go up four possessions on Kansas City in the first quarter. I can't necessarily knock him for that.
Well, it looks bad when you then double it up with the punt,
right?
With
but why? Yeah. Why? Because that tells me that you don't have a plan. You're just knee jerk making decisions.
You're shooting it off the hip.
Right? You're shooting from the hip, right? So that's the thing to me with Dusty right now that I just can't believe. And maybe I'm missing it, but I can't believe that more people aren't questioning. Like, what is you can't. You can't have the runner at second and go through all the extra inning games that we've had, and your response to the media is getting somewhat defensive about bunting and explain why your team can't bunt. Like, that can't be – and then Jose Altuve tries to lead the game off with a bunt. Like, it doesn't add up, man. Like, it's those are the things to me that at some point in time you've got to go – hey, man, Dusty's got to be better. Regardless of the youth, Dusty's got to be better.
Sports Radio 610. Breaking news. Powered by Radio.com Sports. Brought to you by the Dell Technologies Small Business Podference. Go listen at Radio.com/Dell.
This is good news, Houston. This is according from Astros beat writer Brian McTaggart. MLB sources say that Justin Verlander hopes to start throwing next week in an attempt to try to return and pitch this season.
I'm so excited!
Justin Verlander, if you just missed it, according to Brian McTaggart, Astros beat writer, MLB sources say that Justin Verlander hopes to start throwing next week in an attempt to return and pitch this season. Obviously, one of the thoughts that I had immediately after the injury of let's get him some rest, and hell, if he blows it out, it blows out. It looks like this is something they are looking at. It was initially reported by Chandler Rome and the Houston Chronicle that Justin Verlander would be out for the season with an apparent elbow injury. But now it looks like Justin Verlander hopes to start throwing next week and trying to come back and pitch, Clint.
Just a touch of good news, right?
I mean, look at God, huh?
It goes right back to this is why it's so frustrating to watch the Astros, all things considered, lose games that they should win. I say should win, understanding that you don't have Altuve doing Altuve things. You don't have Yordan Alvarez. Springer's been injured. Brantley's banged up. You know, I say that they should have won these games. When you get – how many innings did Belak go last night?
Five or six. Baby. Five strong,
when
baby.
You get five – and he gave up one earned, right? Or was it two earned? Two. He gave up a home
he
run,
gave
didn't
up
he?
Two. Yeah, he
two earned runs. When you get Belak on the mound and he goes five innings and gives up two earned runs, damn it, you got to win that game. This lineup, with or without Springer,
you put up six runs, Ryan Pressly. You gotta win that game.
You gotta win that game,
even if you run out of nine outs.
You gotta win that game. I mean, if you can, Dusty, if you can just hold down the fort.
Everybody, start to pull your weight and do things and stop being stupid. Can we baseball stupid? They're not stupid people, but they're being baseball stupid. A lot of people. Stop it.
Yeah,
Just do what you can control.
Yeah, but my point is that there's guys are going to struggle at the plate, right? You shouldn't.
No, that's not what I'm talking
about. A backup catcher, a third string catcher, shouldn't be put into pinch run without knowing, damn it, you can't take a risk stealing third base. Yeah, he should know, damn it, Dusty or whatever coach is in the dugout that's responsible for base runners, hell, it should have been loud and clear. We're not gonna get thrown out at home plate. First of all, you pinch ran from Maldonado at first base. Don't get thrown out at third base trying to go from first to third. Secondly, when you make it to second, don't get thrown out at home going second to home. We got a one run lead. Don't make the out there, and damn sure don't steal third base. Get caught stealing third base. Yeah, he should have known, but damn it. All things considered, Dusty himself said that base running's been a nightmare. Somebody should have told the guy and reinforced the guy not to be doing that.
No, I think they all need to come together, right? Dusty, he came into this, I believe, thinking he was managing a team that was veteran laden. Of course, they've been to two World Series in the last 3 years, veteran laden, and that you didn't have to tell somebody stuff that you tell eight-year-olds that I've coached before in baseball. But maybe now he needs to adjust and understand what he has. But if Justin Verlander can make a return, and as you said, that they can stay above water. Yordan Alvarez should be coming up in the next couple of days.
Peacock, Davinsky,
and Urquidy were pitching off the mound today. That's where it's got to come.
There's light at the end of the tunnel if you can just hold down the fort. Don't get too far behind where you struggle to get caught back up. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah,
you don't feel real convinced.
No, you feel better. I wonder what the. We haven't really got any clarity on what the injury is from Justin Verlander. But I want to pick this up on the other side. 713-572-4610. Justin Verlander potentially will start throwing again to return to pitch. Are you in favor of this idea, or should they just shut him down? We'll get into that coming up next.
If the Astros want to shut people up, go out there, stick those baseballs in their and their baseballs and their bats where the sun doesn't shine.
Texans training camp is happening now. Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Just coming across here from Brian McTaggart, Astros beat writer. MLB sources say Justin Verlander hopes to start throwing next week in an attempt to try to pitch this season. Also, this according to Chandler Rome from the Chronicle, Astros closer Roberto Osuna will attempt to return later on this season, according to Dusty Baker, as he revealed on Wednesday. Somewhat of a surprising twist after he was placed on the 45-day injured list. So, the two guys with the elbow issues and Verlander and Osuna potentially are trying to make returns later on this season. But the Verlander one, I said it, you were going to be on the hook for Verlander for $30-plus million this year and next year, and he's probably going to have the surgery, and you're going to probably miss him next year. I thought, come out, get everything you can if he's willing to agree to it. Get everything you can until potentially, if it is indeed a UCL issue, it blows out. And from what we heard from Richard Justice last Friday, Richard Justice, Clint, told us that this was something that Justin Verlander was willing to do, but the Astros were the ones holding back on potentially allowing Verlander to just let it fly until it blows out. Do you think this is the proper move the Astros should go with? And Verlander, hey, man, just come on and try to come back in this season, especially the way the year's going.
Well, I'm no doctor, obviously, but to me, it's one of those where I think the potential with this lineup, once they get into the playoffs with everybody healthy, if they get there with all this lineup completely healthy and guys on track, I just think they're too talented to punt on because Verlander all of a sudden is gone for the year. So with him coming back, yeah, I mean, I think this move is one that's saying, hey, man, the Astros have a window, a championship window that's still open. I know it's hard to believe right now, but it's still open. And in this shortened season, you never know what can happen. Let's make the decisions to at least give this group, this 2020 group, a chance to win the World Series. And if again, it's a tough conversation to have right now, but all things considered, if you can get guys to just do what you've done in the past, just be reliable at the plate. Quit making so many bonehead mistakes in the field or on the base path. Get healthy enough to where Brantley can play in the field, right? And Springer can play in the field. And get back to what you're comfortable, the group that's comfortable together. They got a chance to at this point, we would be surprise everybody and make a run. I still think they're talented enough to do that. This decision, you got to think, was influenced by that fact.
If you're just jumping in, Justin Verlander is set and expecting to try to start throwing sometime next week. To try to get back on the field and pitch for the Astros later on this season. My thought is, yes, from the Astros' perspective, shoot, man, we understand 16 teams getting the playoffs right now, and you just got to finish right now above the damn Rangers and the Mariners, right? And we think that Verlander, because Verlander to me would be the perfect spark, right? To me, he is... One, a player in something that you need, which is pitching, and you're starting pitching. He's your horse, and then he's just the guy, right? He is the guy in the locker room. This now eases life for Lance McCullers. This now would ease life for Zach Greinke. He's the perfect spark to go in and add confidence and say, hey, because I think if he were there, that's a guy that would maybe speak up about some of the bonehead decisions that are being made around the field by guys. Cause he's 36, 37 years old, a veteran, a Hall of Famer. This is a guy who's been a leader before when he was here and with the Tigers. He's somebody that would say so. So to me, he would be the perfect guy. I'm just wondering from his perspective, dude, is this team good enough for me at 80, 75, 80% of Justin Verlander? Does this really make sense for me to come back for this group? And I think that's the big question to me coming from Verlander's side.
Well, I think Verlander too. I mean, I think this announcement is really, I mean, there's not a ton of substance there because if things continue to go the way that they're going, then I would imagine that Verlander would bow out at some point and go ahead and have the surgery, start his rehab and start getting on track to get back in the saddle again. and healthy after Tommy John. That to me, that's this just tells us he's going to at least attempt to give it a go and delay the surgery at this point. But yeah, so I mean, I think when you look at George Springer, if George Springer can get out of the funk that he's been in right now, George Springer's in a place where he's got to worry about George Springer. It's contract year. He's struggling. They're dealing with all the fallout from the sign-stealing scandal. My man's got a lot on his plate. But if he were swinging the bat well, if he were healthy and didn't injure himself in the field, then he would be able to call a team meeting and go, hey, guys, I know that we didn't have spring training, but we got to eliminate the bonehead mistakes on the base pass. We wouldn't be talking about Dusty
things that you
could
control.
Yeah, you would think that Verlander or George Springer would be the guys to do those kinds of things. But right now, one of them's injured, trying to decide if he wants to have surgery or not. And the other one, hell, he's worried about hitting out of a slump, and now he's dealing with a wrist injury trying to hit out of that slump. So he's got his own personal problems that he's got to deal with. It's definitely Verlander's veteran experience being around the team and possibly coming back if they do get into the playoffs. I think that's a big shot in the arm for the Astros.
Clint Stoner and the show here live on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Justin Verlander, if you just missed it, is according to Brian McTaggart, Houston Astros beat writer, is looking to start throwing next week in attempts to getting back on the mound to pitch later on this season for the Astros. And right here, 281, I disagree with this here. The Astros are more than one closer and one starter from being a really good team. Right now, McCullers is inconsistent, and rightfully so they don't have the pitching to go very deep in the playoffs. I disagree with it. If they have Roberto Osuna and Justin Verlander, 80% of those guys, I disagree with it. And they get Yordan Alvarez back, they get Urquidy back, I disagree with that. No, that's a team that can compete and go in the playoffs if they have those guys back, because that's what we thought they were going to be, and people thought they were World Series contenders. So I don't agree with that point. If they were to get those guys back, then that changes things.
Well, I would imagine as well, like one thing that would probably impact Justin Verlander's decision is probably the fact that August 31 ain't here yet, and the trade deadline has not come and gone. And look, I know we talked about this, about what's out there. I have no clue what's out there. But you can't tell me that teams across Major League Baseball aren't going to get super aggressive leading up to August 31, and that somebody's going to make a move. Because right now, to be honest with you, the Astros, they could use a starter, they could use middle relief, they could use a closer if Osuna definitely can't go, right? Because
yes.
Both of those guys, Osuna's probably done as an Astro once he has surgery.
Yeah, Ryan Presley is proving every time he comes up that he's not a closer.
Right.
Maybe in the eighth, as I said, but he's not a closer.
Right, right. Just the point being is, you know, if I'm Verlander, I'm going, yeah, man, I'll push the envelope a little bit, but are we still, is the plan still the same? I mean, because Crane and Click are both on record of saying that they're going to be aggressive to the trade deadline to give this team a chance to win a World Series. And if I'm Verlander, I'm having those conversations of, you know, I understand when I was healthy, you guys were going to be aggressive and make that move. Now that I'm possibly going to put off, delay the surgery and come back and try to help this team, are y'all still going to be aggressive? Is that still in the cards? And if it is, then yeah, man, I'll hang on and see if I can't help somewhere down the road in the playoffs. So it'll be interesting to see what the Astros are able to do before the August 31 trade deadline as well.
This text that just came in, I'm curious your opinion on this, being in NFL locker rooms, regardless of his veteran or Hall of Fame status. Speaking of Verlander, Justin can't step to another veteran about base running when he's likely never ever stepped on second base.
There is zero doubt that Justin Verlander can step to whoever in the hell he wants to,
right,
in the clubhouse, in a championship organization that for as long as I've been covering the Astros, every single one of them they're not, there's no cancers. There's no guys over there that are bucking the system. They're guys that just flat-ass want to win. To think that Justin Verlander can't step to Garrett Stubbs if he needs to and says, hey, man, can't step to Josh Reddick and say, hey, man, you got to tighten up the base pass a little bit.
He can go to Jose Altuve
yes.
And step to This is Justin frickin' Verlander. He could go and say anything he wants to anybody.
Groin was pretty beat up in there.
And not that he would need to go to anybody individually. It would be more of a, I would think it would be more of a team meeting situation to go, hey, guys, if we're not going to piss down our leg this season with the talent that we have and overcome this adversity that we've hit, then we've got to do things a little bit better. We got to be, as you would say, show a little more buttoned up. And because it's blatantly obvious, and to hear that come from Verlander, to think that he wouldn't be able to step to anybody in the organization. Come on, man. I know football's different. I know baseball's different than football, but I don't give a damn where Justin Verlander's at. Verlander could walk in the Texans locker room right now.
Okay, let's come.
Verlander could, if Verlander was speaking to the Houston Texans right now, and he had a little something to say, got passionate about it, they listen. They would listen.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. I mean, Verlander. I mean, he carries influence regardless of where he's at. To think that he can't talk to his own team, and impact the organization is crazy.
These guys respect him. Ultimately, respect him. He can go and sit down and have a conversation with anybody just because he hasn't run bases in the majors. I'm pretty sure Justin Verlander in his life has run bases. He hasn't just been a pitcher in his entire life and never ran bases. Like, I bet you Justin Verlander's been in a situation where he knows with two outs and maybe one of the best batters on your team at the plate to not try to steal third base. I bet you he can walk over and have experience with that. So, Justin, like I said, I think he adds the perfect type of lift that this team needs because he's a veteran and he's one of the leaders on this team. I'm sure Troy Aikman could walk over to Russell Maryland, who's screwing up on the defensive line, and say, hey, man, you got to tighten this up. And Russell Maryland doesn't look at Troy Aikman and just say, go to hell, you've never played D-line. No, that's Troy Aikman, the leader of the team, so go to hell. Yeah, right. You think Ray Lewis never walked over to Joe Flacco and had conversations with him about what he was doing at quarterback?
Yeah. I think Verlander it's all BS aside. I think Verlander's the caliber athlete. And this dude's a future Hall of Famer to where he can, in that athlete setting, in that locker room clubhouse setting, he can influence guys that aren't even his own teammates.
Yeah.
He's a guy that could go to the All-Star game, and if he needed to speak up I don't know why you would, but if you needed to speak up in the clubhouse of the All-Star game, he could do it and guys would listen. I mean, it's just that's silly. That's silly to think that Verlander's veteran experience and his leadership position on that team wouldn't impact what the hell's going on at Minute Maid right now.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you. Justin Verlander is looking to start throwing next week to try to get back on the mound later on. I know some have said I've been overreacting today. But do you think – I feel like the Astros are at a players' meeting level. I think they could have in the locker room before the game starts. I feel like they're in a, hey, Dusty, Alex, you shouldn't be around anybody, Citron, the hitting coach. Everybody, why don't y'all roll out? We as players need to have – I think they're in players' meeting time. With everything that's happening to them on the field, stuff that's happening that I think should be done without coaching, I think they're in that territory, especially where their record is and where they are. They have expectations to win bigger than this. I think they need to have a player's own.
Yeah, I think you look at all things considered. You look at everything that's going on and the fact that the snowball is rolling downhill and you can't stop the season. You know, you're not going to have a break right now for each guy to go get have you a drink.
Yeah, the All-Star break is not coming.
It ain't coming, man. I mean, so, yeah, I don't know. It's not a panic button, so to speak, as much as it is a – just a real talk, like, look, guys, we know we've been hit in the face with a ton of adversity, but the snowball's rolling downhill right now, and we've got to put a stop to it. We can't continue to – we're not the team anymore that can mask all these errors because you can trot Osuna out there or because you can trot Garrett Cole, Justin Verlander, Greinke, and Urquidy out there.
Or we're going to run McCullers out of – we can run into outs or because Alvarez will hit it. A three-run shot, and it'll be 9-3, where it doesn't matter. Yeah, no, they don't have that margin of error.
To me, there's nothing wrong with that. Again, I think the guys to do that are Verlander and Springer, and unfortunately, they're guys that are dealing with their own problems right now. But Yeah, I don't think that it would be beyond one of the leaders on the team to call a meeting and just say, guys, this is where it's at, and it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough as hell because we don't know who's coming out of the pen. We don't know who's starting. And literally, we know the name of the guy that's going out there, but if it ain't Greinke and if it ain't McCullough, well, hell, if it ain't McCullough, I mean, Greinke really is the only one that you know what you're going to get after Greinke blew up.
I like your voice.
I mean, we really don't. We know his name, but we don't know who's going to walk out there and take the mound in any position. And so it's going to be a rocky road, but you got to stay strong in the middle of it. Yeah, so the team meeting wouldn't be bad.
Clint, I want to apologize to the listeners because I really dropped the ball yesterday with Alex Cintron, who was suspended 20 games, the hitting coach for the Astros. This is an all-time first. Alex Cintron, for you to fix your mouth and to fix your lips, to get up on the top step of the dugout, to come at Ramon Laureano, say whatever it is you said, to start a fight, to get people during this coronavirus time where people are trying to social distance. Rob Manfred is trying his heart out for you to fix your lips, to say things, to get all of that started. For the first time ever, a member of the Houston Astros, Alex, you know what you did.
You just made the list.
Damn it, I'm sorry. I'm late yesterday. He should have made the list. And you know what? I'm not done. Garrett Stubbs, for you to just make Uncle Dusty look this bad yesterday. He is out here trying with you. Put you in the game for you to really make him look good. Put your speed into the game to try to get a two-run lead. For you to stand and take your lead and come up with the brainy idea of, I'm running. Jose's only batting 180. To hell with it. I'm going. And for that, Garrett Stubbs, I finally got your name right. You know what happens when you do that, Garrett?
You just made the list.
Garrett Stubbs, Alex Cintron, both of them, two Astros for the first time. They done made the damn list.
You just made the list.
They're keeping some bad company, ain't they?
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I can't believe you didn't put them on air yesterday, show.
I don't know what I lost. I lost my mind. I lost control of things. It's just ridiculous. Those two guys. I'm with Landry. Landry said yesterday the Astros ought to appeal the suspension of their hitting coach to try to get more games because he 20 is not enough.
Yeah,
he should get 40. No, seriously. I don't want to say anything about nobody's job, but if you think about what his hitters are doing right now, and now he's the hitting coach with these great players and how they're swinging the bats, and you do this. I mean, that just don't seem like a recipe for somebody to hold a job.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is a recipe for somebody to lose their job.
I don't know how he holds it.
With what's going on right now. And
Jose Altuve looks lost every time he goes to the plate.
I mean, Springer's been through a slump that he had to be sat down for. Altuve's going through a slump that he's got to be sat down for. I mean,
Miles Straw can't even hold his bat. I mean, come on, man.
Reddick's hot, baby. You're still disrespecting Reddick.
I'm not. How am I disrespecting? I didn't even say anything about him.
I can already see the first time you meet Linda. It ain't going to be, hi, hello, how you doing? How you doing? I enjoy this. It's going to be, show you son of a.
Same with Megan, man. You ain't making no friends with our ladies.
Yep.
God, dude, man. Did you had to co-sign and jump in, and then you drug your wife in with his mother?
Don't let him shame you.
Why don't you just dress like him tomorrow? Why don't you just come in as little Clint tomorrow?
Woo!
My God. And now you're just throwing this into my face?
Woo!
The stories you need to know, Houston. 5 o'clock fire coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.